Good morning. This morning we're going to look at a story and draw some lessons from it. So let's see if we can pay attention and see what the story has for us. Reads, about 8 o'clock one January morning, my neighbor called to say that a coyote was walking across the frozen lake towards our house. Knowing a coyote's hide was worth $20 to $40, I ran the couple hundred yards to my shop, got my deer rifle, grabbing a couple of cartridges, and hurried outside to the corner of the shop. The coyote was standing broadside at about 350 yards. I stepped into the snowbank so I could lean against the woodpile to shoot. My rifle was sighted in at 300 yards, so I held the crosshairs on top of the coyote and gently squeezed the trigger. The coyote jerked, fell over, dead. I had shot my first coyote. The snow was deep in the cattails along the shore, so laboring through the fluffy snow and walking went easier. As I approached the animal, a certain uneasiness came over me. Was it a coyote or a wolf? It was perfectly legal to shoot a coyote, but it was illegal to shoot a wolf because of a threatened lawsuit. Wolves had been put back on the endangered species list in Minnesota. I dragged the animal back to the shop, loaded it in my pickup, and drove to the store. Alan, the proprietor, was a trapper and knew animals. He came over to my truck, and I opened the tailgate. Is this a coyote or a wolf? I asked. He paused a few seconds and then replied, it's a coyote. Was I ever relieved? How do you know? I questioned. He replied, you wouldn't know if it was a wolf. They stand much taller and are deeper in the chest. I then asked how much a coyote's hide might be worth. He thought this one might be worth $20 in perfect shape, but with a bullet hole through the chest, maybe $9 or $10. When I got home, I called Wayne, a man who attended church and who hunts coyotes. Yes, you wanted it. He had bought a tanning kit and wanted to try it out. Wayne came over that afternoon, and together we moved the coyote from my truck to his. That evening it snowed, and my wife and I were working on the jigsaw puzzle when a knock sounded at the door. I wondered who that could be. I remarked to Doris. Come in, I called. In stepped Wayne, holding a hunting regulation book in his hand. I've been doing some research, Wayne began. When I took that animal out of the truck, I thought it seemed heavy for a coyote, but my scales, it weighs 75 pounds. This booklet says that a coyote weighs between 25 and 30, and a wolf weighs between 50 and 100. I began to sweat. Was it a wolf after all? I called Alan and asked if he was sure that it was a coyote or if he had been trying to pull my leg. He really thought it was a coyote. When I told him what it weighed, he remarked that he had never heard of a coyote that heavy. My uneasiness grew. I next inquired if he knew of anyone in the area who could tell me for sure what I had shot. He gave me a name and I thanked him, hung up, and called the person he had suggested. I told this man what happened and wondered if I could bring the animal to his place. He wasn't interested, and he told me that if that animal disappeared through a hole in the ice with a weight on it, that no one would ever be able to tell what it was. I replied that I was a Christian and I couldn't do that. You're not thinking of turning yourself in, he asked. I think that is what we're supposed to do if we shoot it by mistake, I answered. Well, this could get ugly, he told me. Is it 100 or 1,000, said I wanted to know. Well, it's not hundreds, he assured me. As I followed Wayne home to get the animal, I felt sure I had a wolf on my hands. It was snowing heavily as I carried the animal to my truck. Then Wayne turned to me in the faint light in the shop and said, you know, Bob, when I realized it was likely a wolf, I was tempted to make it disappear. But I thought that if you ever found out what I had done, you wouldn't be very happy with me. Wayne, I replied, I commend you for doing the right thing, and I don't know what is going to happen to me, but I am grateful to you for letting me know. The next morning, I called the game warden and asked if he would be willing to come down and tell me what I had shot the day before. Was it a wolf or a coyote? He told me to tell him what had happened, and I related the account to him. He told me that he'd be out in an hour or so, and if it turns out to be a wolf, does that mean I go to jail? He asked. Well, not right away, he replied, and his answer was not exactly comforting. When the officer arrived, he walked past the open tailgate of the truck, and with barely a glance, he replied, "Well, there's no mistake about it. It's a wolf." Next, he asked me where the wolf had been shot, and I pointed out a little ridge in the snow on the lake where the wolf had died. He wanted to see where I stood to shoot, and he wanted to see the kill site, so we followed my tracks out onto the lake. At the kill site, he kicked away the newly fallen snow, revealing the blood on the ice. He took a picture of it and walked back towards the shop, as well as taking a couple other pictures along the way. We returned to the shop and sat down at the table saw, where he asked me some more pointed questions, in which I answered. Then he said, "I believe you made an honest mistake, and I will vouch for your truthfulness 100%. Believe me, if there's any hint of something amiss here, we would be crawling all over this case. If it was up to me, I would give you a warning. But unfortunately, this is a federal matter, and they may or may not listen to my recommendations. Their concern is that if you are let off with just a warning, others might knowingly shoot a wolf and then claim they thought it was a coyote. So likely they will put some teeth into what happened." He then asked to see the rifle I had to shoot the wolf with, and he wrote down the serial numbers and model. He told me he was leaving the rifle in my possession, but he wanted to make sure it would be available if they needed to take it. I swallowed hard and told him that it would remain available if it were needed. I also told him I appreciated the manner in which he did his job and thanked him for believing my truthfulness. I assured him I would accept whatever the judgment I was given. "I will be in touch with you about a week," he said. On Saturday evening, I did some research to find out that the consequences for killing a wolf in Minnesota were not exactly encouraging. Up to a $25,000 fine, 6 months in jail, 5 to 10 years of no hunting privileges, and the confiscation of the weapon. The next Saturday, the officer called. "We're not trying to lengthen your anxiety," he began, "but there are some people on vacation, so this may take some time." He told me the authorities were not talking in terms of a fine, but perhaps a restitution fee. The figures he mentioned were $2,000 for a threatened species or $4,000 for an endangered species. I swallowed hard. A little over 3 weeks later, he called again and said they were still working on it, and he was pondering the possibility of charging me with something like shooting an animal without a license, which could be a fine of maybe $200. "We're not trying to stretch out your waiting," he assured me. "You'll hear again from me by the end of the week." That Friday evening, I was spraying lacquer on a set of kitchen cabinets when the shop door opened and in walked the game warden. "I'm going to give you a warning, and that's all that's going to happen." As I almost wept as relief flooded over me, and he explained that the district attorney did not want to press charges, but the state lieutenant had been very hesitant of letting me off with just a warning. The conservation officer had asked him to take some time and read the results of the investigation. A few days later, the lieutenant approved a warning, and the federal agents also agreed. The conservation officer wrote me the warning slip and handed it to me. "You can frame it if you like," he said with a smile. "And if you talk about this incident, I'd appreciate if you will treat killing wolf seriously." "Believe me, I won't make light of it," I said. I thanked him for his courtesy and for the mercy they had shown me. My daddy had instructed his 5 sons that if we did wrong, we would far rather we come and tell him right away than for him to find out some other way. I'm grateful he taught us to be honest and straightforward. I have pondered the whys connected to this incident. Why didn't God put it in my mind that it might be a wolf before I shot? Or why didn't I miss and the wolf run away? And although I had done the right thing in reporting my deed, why did I have to live with a dark cloud over my head for those 5 weeks? What did I do? What I do know is that I had many opportunities to testify before the saved and unsaved alike about my fear of God and His word that instructs us to obey our civil authorities. God has been gracious in revealing how He would have used this incident to speak to others. Also, I am humbled and grateful for the many people who told me later they had been praying for me. There is also a footnote in the story that thrills me yet. Not long after the conclusion, I told a man at the lumber yard what the outcome has been. He was happy to hear the outcome. "I guess we won't be passing the hat for you," he said. But why would you do that for me? He asked. I don't do much business here. You don't understand, Bob, how big an issue the wolf is around here. A lot of cattlemen have had losses, and something like this gets their attention. Besides that, he said seriously, a man walked in here and said, if that man gets a fine for shooting that wolf, I'm going to pay half of his fine, whatever the amount is. I walked out of that place, worshipping my Heavenly Father for his tender care and mercy, and I don't think I will forget this incident as long as I live. To God be the glory. So you think you know what the point of the story is? Always tell the truth, no matter if it's going to make things really hard. He could have gotten in a lot of trouble for doing what was right, but it didn't matter to him that he would have gotten in a lot of trouble. In Proverbs it says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. It would have been a lot easier for him to just make that wolf disappear, and he would have never had to worry about it. In James chapter 4, in the end of the book, it reads, but now you rejoice in all your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So if we have something happen and we know that we're going to be in a lot of trouble for it, and it would be a little bit easier if we just lied about it, and nobody would ever know that it was us that did it, and we could get away with it. When we lie, it's actually sinning, because we know in our hearts what the right thing to do is, and it's better, and it's oftentimes, in the end, it's a lot easier for us if we say what's right, and we get it over with, versus we drag it out, and then maybe your parents find out, and then they found out you were lying. Then it's just even worse off for us. Another couple of verses in Proverbs says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride cometh, there cometh shame, but the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgression shall destroy them. Here sometimes in the Bible times, people would have a wrong scale, so they could short all the people they'd sell. They could short them, and it would look right, but they knew that it wasn't right. And so, what's purpose as we go about to always say what's right, even when it's not always going to be easy for us, and we might get in trouble for it, but it's always better in the long run if we confess what we've done and accept it, and then we're right. So, we can go back to your parents now.